Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, as you may know, the US TV network CBS announced the cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last week. And indeed, CBS said it is permanently retiring the show, The Late Show. You'll recall that was previously David Letterman's show. Now, there's a whole political discussion around this, but the bottom line is CBS are also saying it was losing money. It lost 40 million last year. And also, in general, it was the number one show. But these late night shows in America, the actual audience is watching them at night. It's completely tanking. So, could this be the beginning of the end of an American institution? Dave Hanratty, host of the No Encore podcast, welcome.
Good afternoon.
So, Dave, these shows have been, like, as I say, an American institution for decades. I suppose, was the 60s and 70s the golden age of it? Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, you'd have it. Ed Sullivan was still going at that stage.
Massively, yeah, it would have been. I mean, very much a captive audience type situation as well, though, because obviously today we have, I only have to pick up the phone in front of me and I can watch whatever I want. But back then, your options were limited, but they were good shows as well. And also, I think it bears repeating, you talk all the time about the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and what a huge moment that was for pop culture in general. 73 million people watched that broadcast on their debut.
Wow.
On the 9th of February, I think it was 64. And my favourite kind of anecdote about that, though, is that afterwards, Paul McCartney was saying that he didn't like the production value. He thought that John's mic was too low in the mix. So, you know, you can't...
So these were the national fireside at that stage.
Yeah, I mean, of a late night bent, though, it's not quite your gather the family round. And certainly as it went on with the decades as they passed and the hosts as they came in, it got a bit more counterculture. But for a time, it was the hottest game in town. And it was kind of the place that you would go to for any kind of satire or critical and cultural commentary.
Okay. And then, as you say, as the generations changed and everything, I suppose the various eras were defined by presenters and types of presenters. And they changed in style down the years since then, didn't they?
Very much so. Kind of becoming their own rock star. For me, growing up, not that I, you know, we're here in Ireland, but you would have satellite channels or whatever, which would carry the likes of a David Letterman, who you would kind of tune into and be like, who is this guy? I think very intriguing, very charismatic off the bat immediately. Conan O'Brien as well, Jay Leno, like these are kind of the 90s guys. Today, you have the likes of a Jimmy Fallon, a Jimmy Kimmel, the aforementioned Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers. And I do think that if you go through them, it is diminishing returns as well. I think part of it is the era, the culture. They stood out because there wasn't as many rivals, there wasn't as many rival options, but I also think that it's got a lot more toothless as it's gone on, in my opinion.
Do you think, because Republicans have been arguing that the reason these shows aren't doing as well anymore is because they've gone too political?
I mean, they've always been political to a degree. If anything, I think it's more that the writing isn't as sharp as it could be. And like, look, Colbert, and we can maybe talk about the political aspects of it, I do think it's quite damaging and alarming what is happening right now in relation to the current American administration. But the likes of a Fallon and a Kimmel and a Colbert, like, I'd argue that they almost became a bit too Trump-obsessed and the material just waned. It was kind of bottom-of-the-barrel stuff by the end. It wasn't very sharp.
Yeah. Back to the good old days for a minute, because like when it was a massive business, it was a huge story as well. Like for example, the kind of the various feuds between them. There's been books written, films made. Letterman versus Leno, for example.
Huge thing. Yeah, this is proper. Like this is pro wrestling stuff again. Like I can't help it. I can't help but get my beloved pro wrestling into this program as much as I can. But it was it was late night rock star television. It was the Oasis and Blur of the kind of entertainment game in America. And they would kind of take a little bit of swipes at each other and they'd be a bit more veiled than others at times. But the fact is you could switch over the channel, and that was kind of was always the big fear, was we have to be ahead of the other guy by any means necessary. And then even in terms of like the transitioning out, when Leno was leaving his show, Conan O'Brien was coming in to take over. There was an argument about time slots. The ratings were down a little bit. Leno was like, how about you go back to this slot? Conan said, no, I'm sticking around. He ended up leaving NBC over the time. Leno came back in. So there was a lot of political machinations behind the scenes. So like, which, and I should say as well, if I can, I think the best talk show of the 90s is a parody. It's a sitcom. It's the Larry Sanders Show, which was taking this off. One of my favorite memories is watching that with my dad late at night on BBC Two. And that was wonderful because that was lampooning what these guys were doing with real life celebrities and showing you what it was perhaps really like behind the scenes. And the trades would write about the kind of the acid coated nature of what would happen in a green room and what would happen between the hosts. And do these people even like each other?
Yeah. So they've been in decline for a while now. I think like people are more likely to watch clips of them online than actually watch them at this stage, are they?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, that's how I would consume it. Like, I'd be flicking through my YouTube algorithm and it might be like, oh, there's Colin Farrell on Seth Meyers. There's Sabrina Carpenter on Jimmy Fallon. Maybe that'll be interesting. So it is kind of more bite-sized now. And I think for an awful lot of people growing up with phones, growing up with social media, the fact that, you know, you tell someone like, hey, listen, 73 million people watched the Beatles on a rabbit ear television back in the day, they won't believe you. Yeah. It's much more easy now to just be like, give me 5 minutes of this as opposed to a full hour. And the level of production that goes into these shows, by the way, I mean, you're saying that Colbert is apparently losing $40 million a year. It employs 200 people to make that show, like, which is nuts. Whereas in today's world...
Is that a viable model anymore?
It's like, not. Yeah. This is
and there's all kinds of chat shows online now and on YouTube and everything that are much more lo-fi and possibly more in tune with the times, yeah?
Yeah, the likes of Hot Ones, the likes of Chicken Shop Date. And again, like, I don't know the full staff on those, but it's not 200 people.
Yeah.
And it is made
hot
to be
ones is what they eat hot
chicken wings while this show is gigantic, by the way, and I don't know about you, but like, if I'm having hot chicken wings, Brendan, I don't want a camera in my face. That's the last thing I want to do, or have some kind of insightful interview about my life or the thing that I'm promoting. But it works. And I should say as well, to give the late night talk shows some credit, they have themselves come up with their own kind of singular moments of entertainment, like Carpool Karaoke, whatever you think about it, massive hit, lip sync battle. They did create these things that would live elsewhere and live on social, but they're still packaged within kind of what is an outdated ecosystem.
Yeah. Like, you're talking about 73 million. Colbert, who is now the number one of those late night shows, has 2.5 million people out of a population of 340 million. Like, to be chicken feed, like, if you took that down to Ireland, it's like 40, 50,000 viewers. So, yeah, I imagine their time might be coming, is it?
I think so. I worry that this is, like, not quite the first domino to fall, because I guess Corden's show hasn't come back. They replaced it with something else and nothing since. So this could be the next one. This could be the big one. But I do think, and like David Letterman spoke out about this on Friday night, he is not the only one to say that, like, there's more going on behind the scenes here potentially than just falling ratings and money. Yeah. There's the Trump administration in the background. There's deals being done. And Trump went on his beloved Truth Social and said, I'm delighted that Stephen Colbert is gone.
And Colbert has another year, though, of a bully pulpit of his own, where he's going to be, I mean, he's unleashed now. Like, the fact that they've given him 10 more months on air, presumably he'll do a lot of damage in that time. Okay, Dave Hanratty, thank you very much for that. We'll take a break.